Hello, Mike and Chuck. Thanks for having me on the show again. Today I wanted to talk about something that's not often talked about in the conspiracy movement or the alternative media, and that is the option of moving overseas and getting out of America to live abroad. And I think the reason this is not talked about, okay, is because if you're a true patriot, you're supposed to love your country and stay behind and stay in America to try to change things and fight the New World Order or whatever's going on. And so there's this assumption that you have to stay in your country and change it, and that's the only way. But if you think about it, the solution of moving abroad makes a lot of sense, okay? There's a lot of good reasons, and I'm going to cover some. But first of all, I want you to think about this. If you were on a sinking ship, like the Titanic, for instance, wouldn't your first thought be to simply get off the ship? Of course it would. That would be the most logical solution, okay? But for some reason, when it comes to America, people don't think that once, you know, a solution to the problems in America is to get out of the country. They just don't think like that because it's too out of the box. It's too unusual to think that way. We're not conditioned to think that way. Even in the alternative media, we're not conditioned to think that way. So most people just never consider it, okay? And I want people to consider this as a valid option because it makes a lot of sense, okay? I mean, if you're on a sinking ship, obviously the most logical a solution is to get off the sinking ship. But when it comes to America sinking down in almost every way, except for technology, of course, people just don't think that way when it comes to America. And there appears to be a mental block about that. And so I just wanted to try to remove this mental block and help people see that moving abroad is a very valid solution that makes a lot of sense when you consider all the reasons for doing so. Now, in the conspiracy movement, there is this assumption that all the problems in America are the same everywhere. So, because America represents the world, therefore everything that's happening in the United States is happening everywhere, okay? And in a sense, I mean, yes and no, in a sense that's true and in a sense it's not, because other countries do share some of America's problems. Of course, there's going to be corruption, crime, conspiracies. Every country has positives and negatives, okay? But most countries do not share America's problems in the extreme that America does, okay? So yeah, there's good and bad everywhere, okay, but it's not as bad. It's not as extreme as in America. And I'm going to cover three reasons why, okay? I have a lot of reasons, of course, but these three I think are very important to a newcomer or a practical person that just wants to hear a little bit of information regarding the practical benefits and that makes sense too. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is that there are countries out there that are saner, friendlier, healthier, etc. Okay. And, so let me cover a few, reasons. Okay. So one, first of all, is that in most countries, you'll have a lower cost of living, okay? Which means you don't have to... I mean, America's a pretty expensive country, and the inflation has made prices rise a lot, you know, especially since the 70s. And so you have to work a lot, and there's no freedom or free time to enjoy things in America. But in most countries, the cost of living is a lot lower. Things are more affordable. Right now, I'm in Taiwan, and I can get a very good meal here for like $3, and there's no tax or tip, for example. Okay, so a lot of things are less expensive overseas, so you don't have this financial burden that you do in America. And it means you can survive on less money and have more freedom and free time. And here's an interesting thing that most Americans don't know or aren't aware of, which is that in other countries, most people do not mortgage their house, okay, like in America. In America, most houses are probably mortgaged, okay? You know, at probably more than half the houses in America are mortgaged, which means most people are debt slaves. They have to pay this mortgage, and it keeps them in debt for many years. It essentially makes them a debt slave. But in most countries, the houses are paid off, okay? So people are not debt slaves to the extreme that Americans are, okay? I mean, in most countries, houses are obviously going to be smaller, okay? And maybe not as nice and comfortable as American houses are, but most houses are not mortgaged, so people don't have as much of a financial burden and are not debt slaves the way Americans are. And that's a very interesting difference, and it's too bad that the mainstream media doesn't talk about this kind of thing. Okay, so cost of living is lower. That's one benefit, okay? And also healthcare is a lot more affordable in other countries. It doesn't bankrupt you like in America. And if you look up the statistics, America is actually number one when it comes to medical bankruptcies. In fact, the number one cause of bankruptcies in America are medical bankruptcies, you know, extreme hospital bills that bankrupt people. And in other countries, you don't usually have that problem because most of the healthcare is subsidized, and in other developed countries, people have national healthcare. So so everyone's covered, okay? And so it's either very cheap or affordable. And you can see this Michael Moore film about it called Sicko, where he follows a bunch of Americans getting medical services in Cuba that they can't afford in the U.S. And, you know, it's like dirt cheap over there. So, yeah, that's another benefit, healthcare. And another benefit I wanted to talk about is physical health itself. Okay, in other countries, okay, not all countries, but there are some countries where the food is very healthy and a lot more natural, and that's why in other countries you don't have the obesity problem that you do in America. For example, if you go to Asia or Europe, you'll see that people are a lot thinner than in America and healthier looking. And one reason is because their food is a lot more natural. It doesn't have so many artificial ingredients as American food does, okay? And so that's an important benefit. I mean, most Americans will tell you that, I mean, most American travelers will tell you that when they go to Europe, for example, they can eat a lot more snacks and food, and they don't gain as much weight from it as they do in America. So a lot of American travelers will tell you that. That's because in Europe, the food is much more natural and healthy. And you can see that by going there, that people are a lot thinner and not as obese as in America. Okay. And you can see that in Asia, of course, where you know, people are quite skinny, of course. So that's actually a very big weight loss secret. It's a very big secret in the weight loss industry that, you know, the American weight loss industry is not going to tell you about, which is that if you want to lose weight, you can go overseas and you will probably lose a lot of weight over time because the food is a lot more natural and not as overloaded with artificial ingredients. So that is a big weight loss secret that Americans are not being told, because nobody would make money from telling people that. I mean, there are no weight loss. I mean, the weight loss and nutrition industry would not profit if they told people to go overseas and eat foreign food to lose weight, you know. I mean, I don't know what's in American food, but ever since the 1980s, obesity has skyrocketed, and something has changed about the food in America. And so, you know, it's definitely not healthy, because America leads the world in obesity and cancer and heart disease and diabetes, etc. and there is something going wrong, definitely going on with the health in America. Okay. So yeah, that's another major, major reason or benefit of going overseas is the health, is the, your physical health. You know, it, other countries are a lot healthier. So, you know, these are really practical reasons. You can see that, that it's not true that everywhere is the same as America. I mean, there are differences, and these are some important differences that I'm highlighting. Another reason that other countries have better health is because the public transportation is a lot better in most countries, like in European countries or Asian countries. The public transportation is a lot more extensive and covers a lot more regions. So a person does not need a car to get around, okay, like they would in America. In America, unless you live in New York City or something, you definitely need a car to get around, especially if you're in the suburbs. I mean, you cannot function or go anywhere in the suburbs unless you have a car, okay? But that's not true in European countries. If you lived in Europe, even if you were in the suburbs, you could still take the bus or some type of public transportation, because the public transportation is very extensive and covers everywhere, so that you don't need a car in most other countries. A car is like a luxury item. It's not a necessity, okay? So what this means is that when you can take public transportation, you can walk more, and then that gives you more exercise. And another benefit is, you know, when you take public transportation, you can meet people more and talk to people and socialize with strangers. So, you know, that's another benefit of public transportation. You get to go out there and meet people rather than being isolated in a car. Okay. And that brings me to the last benefit I want to talk about, which is the social benefit. You see, when you go to other countries, the first thing you notice is that people are a lot more down to earth, okay, and more modest and humble and easygoing, okay? That's the very first thing you notice. And then when you do, you realize that Americans are the most arrogant people, okay, in the world, okay? Because in America, we're conditioned to be self-absorbed, to be self-centered, to be very egotistical, you know, because America is a very competitive country. So, you know, people have this, they develop this big ego and they compete with each other and they try to tear each other down. And so when you grow up in America, you constantly have to struggle with things like self-confidence, self-esteem, okay, because something is always trying to tear you down. And so you have to constantly fight and struggle to build self-confidence or self-esteem. But you don't have to do that in most other countries because people are more down to earth and humble. And so they don't try to tear you down like they do in America. So you don't have to struggle with things like confidence or self-esteem or something like that. So it's a lot better, you know, for your psychological health or your mental health too. And it also means that people are easier to get along with, and the friendships are going to be truer, or the friendships are going to be a lot truer too, because people who are down to earth, when you make friends with people who are down to earth, the friendship feels more true, more genuine, because they are more genuine, okay? You know, in contrast, when you make friends with someone who's more artificial or fake, okay, the friendship is going to feel more artificial and fake because, you know, they're fake people and you've got to be kind of fake to you know, be on their wavelength. And so the whole, you know, the friendship thing is kind of a fake too. So I would say that most friendships in America are more like acquaintances or hangout buddies, because people don't really connect with others. There's not a natural feeling of social connection with other people in America, okay? there's a feeling of disconnection, like everyone is isolated and there's no feeling of camaraderie with other people, okay? And so in that sense, America is kind of probably the loneliest country in the world, period. I mean, it's got to be the loneliest country because people are so self-absorbed and paranoid in America that they don't really connect with other people. They'd rather connect with their dogs, for example. And I think it's kind of weird that in America, people like dogs. I mean, most people like dogs more than they like other people. I think that's a bit upside down. People should like other people more, but instead they're kind of paranoid toward other people and distant. And they just don't really connect with other people. There's no camaraderie. There's no closeness. Even families in America are not very close. Okay. They seem kind of more like a group. A typical family in America seems more like a group of friends than you know, a real close-knit family. Like, I mean, they're not as close as families in Asia or South America, for example. Okay, so, you know, and that's why, you know, in Asia, you know, parents don't tell their children when they're 18 or 20 that they should go out and be independent or something or move out. I mean, there's not that expectation. Okay, so... So what I'm saying is that in other countries, there's more of a social connection, okay, a natural social connection, and people are more humble, more modest, and more down to earth, okay, and they just act a lot more genuine. So it's a lot easier to connect with people, and so you don't feel as lonely in other countries. And when you make friends, the friendship feels more genuine and true because, you know, the people are more genuine and down to earth. Okay, so, this applies to people in their 20s and 30s too. For example, when you visit European countries, you find that people who are young, like in their 20s and 30s, they tend to be very down to earth, okay? Whereas in contrast, in America, usually like the older folks or the senior citizens are down to earth, but the people in their 20s and 30s and even in their 40s are not as down to earth in the USA because America, I mean, is not the culture and the social culture. It's not very down to earth anymore. I would say it used to be, you know, for example, if you look at the TV shows in America in the 60s and the 70s, the characters on there seem a lot more down to earth and more genuine than they do today. And they look a lot more wholesome too and good natured as well. I mean, just look at the TV shows and the commercials on YouTube, for example, from back in the 60s, the 70s and early 80s. And you'll see that people looked a lot more wholesome and down to earth and genuine in America, I'm talking about, of course. So America's really not as genuine and down to earth as it used to be. And you can even see that in our politicians. I mean, for example, George Bush and Obama, they don't look down to earth at all. They look very fake, very plastic. They look like bullshitters. They're very inauthentic. But if you look at the presidents we had back in the 70s, for example, like Nixon, Ford, Jimmy Carter, those presidents seem a lot more down to earth. And I think that's a reflection of the people because in the 70s, people were more down to earth. So they elected presidents that were more down to earth. But nowadays in modern America, people are not as down to earth. So they elect presidents that, like Obama, that are not down to earth. Okay, so I think, you know, the state of the people have a lot to do with that. Okay, and obviously, okay, even if presidents are selected, then they're probably selected because they match the people. I mean, if they're selected by the cabal that runs America, okay, then they're probably selected because they match the type of people that would vote for them. Okay, so either way. Okay, so yeah, that's an important point, which is that that socially speaking, I mean, sorry, I went off on a tangent, but socially speaking, it's easier to connect with people in other countries and make friends, and you don't feel as lonely as much because people who are down to earth are easier to get along with, easier to connect with. You know, whereas in America, I mean, people are more arrogant, more self-absorbed and egotistical, so it's harder to get along with people as much, and it's harder to make friends as much, too, because, you know, because of all the reasons I talked about. So, you know, that's another important benefit. You know, you don't feel as lonely in other countries, you know, when you have more genuine people around you, okay? Now, so those are some really good reasons and benefits of living overseas and getting out of America. I mean, they are very real and practical reasons. So, I mean, this is just, you know, a few reasons. I can give a lot more, okay? But this gives you an idea that it is not true that everything in America is the same everywhere, which most people in the conspiracy movement seem to insinuate for some reason. So I just wanted you to be aware that there are differences in that. If you can afford it, okay, and you know, you have some money saved up and you're willing to work overseas, then this is a very viable option that makes sense, and it comes with a lot of benefits. And also a lot of your problems, especially if they're problems in the areas I just talked about, okay, a lot of those type of problems can be solved by going overseas too. So you can solve a lot of problems, you can have a better life, etc., by just moving abroad and leaving America, okay? And that's so it's a very logical, sensible solution, okay? You don't have to stay in America and try to fix things or fight things. I mean, that's kind of, you know, a very uphill battle. You know, it's kind of futile in a sense because, I mean, I don't see, you know, any type of revolution in America really working, okay? I mean, if we were like back in the 1700s with muskets or swords, I mean, you could have a revolution and win, okay? But, you know, when the government has machine guns and tanks, I mean, the people cannot successfully win in a revolution, okay? And most people are too self-absorbed in with their work, with their television, with their iPhone. People are just too self-absorbed to even care about organizing for any kind of revolution, whether it be an armed revolution or a passive revolution or just a revolution of awakening. I mean, most people just are too self-absorbed for that kind of thing. I mean, the cabal that runs America makes sure that Americans live in fear, okay? And when everyone lives in fear and they're separated and isolated and self-absorbed, they're not going to organize for any type of revolution. So I just don't see that happening, okay, at this point. So, you know, rather than trying to stay behind in America and fight a losing battle, why not just get off the sinking ship? You know, you can vote with your feet. And think about this, okay? It's a lot easier to change your location and to go to a country or a culture that has more of what you want and will have more freedom and make you happy. It's a lot easier to just buy a plane ticket and leave, okay, to another country than it is to try to change an entire society or power structure, okay? I mean, there's no comparison, okay? It's much easier to buy a plane ticket than to change everything in America. I mean, that's very obvious and self-explanatory. Anyone can tell you that, okay? So when you think about it, it just makes a lot of sense, you know? You can't really change the government or the society or the New World Order or the cabal that runs America. You can't change it. You can't touch them. But you can buy a plane ticket and go to a country that's saner, healthier, and friendlier. And there are a lot of foreign countries that you can do that in. And some that I would suggest, actually the most popular countries that Americans are moving to now. Actually, did you know that statistics show that about 6 million Americans live overseas now, which is quite a lot. And that number is growing every year. So a lot of people are realizing the benefits of living abroad now. And 6 million Americans overseas is quite a bit. But of course, that doesn't get much coverage. But anyways, a lot of hotspots that a lot of Americans are moving to now are, I would say, South America, the Philippines, Asia, perhaps China too, and of course, European countries. I would recommend trying out European countries first because they're a lot safer, okay? I like Russia too. It's a lot of fun and people are very passionate and very open and very authentic there. But the problem with Russia is that it has a very high crime rate. So it's not a very safe country to live in. So I would not recommend living in Russia. I mean, it's a great place to vacation, okay, and travel in and have fun in, but it's not a very good place to live in long term because there's a very high crime rate there. So I would try Eastern Europe, Southern Europe, and maybe Western Europe, but Western Europe is more expensive. So I would try Eastern Europe first because the cost of living is a lot cheaper there. And I would consider the countries in Latin America, like Brazil or Costa Rica, for example, because cost of living is very low there and people are very open and very fun and easy to get to know. And also another hotspot is the Philippines. A lot of Americans are retiring there because there's no language barrier in the Philippines because most people speak, you know, at least basic English in the Philippines. So there's not a language barrier issue in the Philippines as there would in other countries where people don't speak English as much. So that's another hotspot that Americans like to retire to or move to. You could consider maybe Japan too, but of course that's a very expensive country to live in, or China. And China is a big country, so you'll hear a lot of mixed things about it, of course. So yeah, those are the hot spots I would recommend would be Eastern Europe, Southern Europe, South America, Philippines, maybe Thailand too. Thailand's a great place, but there's going to be a language barrier in Thailand. And possibly China. I haven't been to China yet, but I've heard a lot of mixed things about it. So it's just something you'd have to try out or something. And I guess I wanted to close by saying one more thing, which is that one reason why it's easier to meet people in countries, in like European countries, than in America is because there's a fundamental difference in mentality. You see, Americans are attracted to familiarity. They like things that they like people and things that they know and that are familiar to them. Okay, they don't like people that they don't know very much. Okay, they're not attracted to novelty. They're attracted to familiarity. Okay, and most Americans, you know, are like that fundamentally. Okay, but over in Europe, for example, and in Russia and in South America, it's the opposite. People are very attracted to novelty. They're very open-minded. So what that means is they'll be very open to meeting new people and to making new friends and to talking to strangers. So that's a very fundamental difference. It's a very core key difference between the people in Europe and the people in America. Okay, and that's why it's so much easier to meet people and have a better social life in Europe than it is in America. Because, again, Americans are attracted to familiarity. They like people and things that they know. Okay, they do not like people who are unfamiliar or things. Okay, they like a set familiar routine. okay, in life, with people, and even with consumer products, they like things that are familiar, okay? They're not as likely to try new things or to meet new people. But over in Europe, in European countries, people tend to be more open-minded, okay? And they're more attracted to novelty. They like things that are different and new, and they're much more curious as well. So they're going to be more open to meeting new people, and so you're going to have a lot easier time meeting new people and making friends in European countries than in America. Okay, and I'm not, you know, trying to generalize. You know, of course, not all people are like that, but when you live or travel in Europe, you'll see what I'm talking about. I mean, there's definitely a pattern. It's a different mentality in most people. And, you know, you'll find all kinds of people everywhere you go. You know, there will be people that are like that and people not. But most people, if you travel and live in Europe, most people you meet will fit the description that I gave you. And most people who travel, if you ask them, they'll pretty much concur with what I just told you. If you ask them to be honest and tell you and have them listen to what I said in this broadcast, most travelers, you know, if not all, will pretty much agree, you know, especially if they're honest and very aware and observant, they'll pretty much tell you that. Now, the thing is, if you're in a social culture that's not down to earth, but very artificial and superficial and inauthentic, okay, then what that means is, unless you're an artificial fake person yourself, you're not going to fit in. You're not going to be in your element, okay? What this means is that if you're very down to earth, very authentic and very genuine, you're not going to fit in modern American social culture, okay? Because modern American social culture is not authentic or down to earth. It's all about putting on a front, putting on a facade. It's all about hype, illusion, acting like a poser, okay? And so people that are very down to earth tend to feel like a misfit. They tend to suffer in America. They tend to feel like they don't belong, okay? So, and, you know, and that's not good for your mental health, of course. Okay, so that's a key point here, is that if you're a very down-to-earth, genuine person, okay, you're probably not gonna fit into American culture, at least not the modern one, okay? And, you know, especially, you know, in, like, really superficial cultures like L.A. or New York or something like that, okay? Especially the big city America, okay? Which, you know, is very artificial. So that's the key point. That's the key thing to keep in mind, okay? And also, you might have noticed that people who are deep thinkers tend to not like American culture, because American culture is based on a large amount of phoniness, hype, illusion, BS, okay? So it's not very authentic or down to earth. So people who are deep thinkers tend to not like to BS, okay? Or they don't like phoniness, okay? So people who are deep thinkers, they tend to be drawn toward Europe or Latin America, because people are a lot more authentic in those countries. And also in European culture, the culture is a lot more intellectual as well, and more toward people who like philosophy or deep thinking, or, you know, or history. And it's a lot more intellectual in general. And if you study American history, one of the smartest people in colonial America was Benjamin Franklin. And he spent like a decade in London chatting with intellectuals, okay, before the Revolutionary War. And during the Revolutionary War, he spent about 8 years in France. And, you know, he spent his day, you know, talking about philosophy, playing chess, just having a good time. And he could connect with very intellectual people there. in both London and Paris, because he was very intellectual. So people that are, so even, you know, one of America's great founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, seemed to have a lot happier time when he was in Europe than in America. Okay. So, you know, and this is not surprising, because European culture tends to be more conducive toward philosophy, deep thought, intellectualism, ideas, history, art, you know, culture. And so people who are deep thinkers tend to feel more at home in Europe. They tend to thrive there more. They tend to be more in their element, okay? Whereas, you know, they'll be a misfit in America because, you know, America is all about making money, living to work, consumerism. It's not conducive to intellectualism or philosophy, okay? And also the culture is based on a lot of hype, illusion, BS, phoniness, fakery, okay? Putting on a facade, an image. So, you know, so that's another important point to consider and to take into account, okay? Anyways, I hope I've given you something to consider and giving you some good reasons and explanations for why you can have a happier and a better life overseas. And if you want to learn more, you can visit my website. It's www.happierabroad.com. That's happier with an IER and then abroad as in overseas.com. And I have a lot more information there about how and why you can have a better life overseas, and why you can solve many of your problems by going overseas as well. And I think it'll all make a lot of sense when you do more research on my website or on other sites if you want. Anyways, thanks for listening, and hope I've planted some seeds out there, and take care and have a great day. Bye.